In 1993, the classic movie Groundhog Day debuted in theaters. It starred Bill Murray playing the part of Phil Connor, who was a cynical TV weatherman in Pittsburgh. On February 1st, Phil and his news team traveled to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for an annual story on Groundhog Day. Now, Phil doesn't even try to hide the fact that he detests doing this story every year. He refers to the residents of Punxsutawney as hicks, and he can't stand this podunk little town, but he has no choice. He has to do the story. He wakes up on February 2nd in Punxsutawney with the radio blaring Sonny and Cher's I Got You, Babe, and DJs bantering back and forth. He does a very half-hearted job of reporting on the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, and tries to leave as soon as the story's done. But the blizzard that he predicted would miss western Pennsylvania hits, snows them in, and weatherman Phil is stuck. Sort of like you're stuck in your homes right now. The next morning, Phil again awakens with the radio blaring Sonny and Cher's I Got You, Babe, and the same DJ banter on the radio. He experiences the previous day's events exactly like the day before. And he's baffled, but he thinks he's just having deja vu. Gradually, though, he realizes that he's stuck in this time loop, reliving February 2nd over and over again. At first, he tries to take advantage of the situation. He realizes that there are no consequences for his actions, so he engages in binge eating and drinking and robbery and all sorts of other dangerous activities because it will all get erased and he'll start over the next day. But eventually, he becomes depressed because no matter what he does, he's trapped, stuck, reliving the same day over and over and over again. I thought about that because of the passage of Scripture I want to share with you this morning. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you go to Israel today, you can visit the site of today's miracle of Jesus. It takes place at the Pool of Bethesda. Bethesda is an Aramaic word that means house of mercy. And in Jesus' time, the Pool of Bethesda was the place where the sick and infirm would gather in droves looking for mercy and healing. Now, if you're following along in your Bibles as I read the passage, you may or may not have had a verse 4. Some translations include verse 4 and others don't. The reason is that the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of the Gospel of John don't include verse 4. It's obviously a later addition, but it's a later addition that provides some helpful background information to help us understand what's going on in this scene. If you have a verse 4, it says that the reason that all the sick and infirm gather at the pool is that they are waiting on the waters to be stirred up. One translation says they're waiting on the waters to be troubled. They're waiting on movement to happen in the water because the tradition is that the bubbling is caused by an angel that comes and stirs the waters. And when that happens, the first person into the water is healed of whatever malady they were suffering from. John tells us that when Jesus came back into Jerusalem, that's where he went. We don't know why Jesus shows up at the pool, but it's hard to imagine that he went there for any other reason than to walk among those who need healing. It's almost like the local emergency room. It's the place where the sick and suffering congregate. And when Jesus arrives at that crowded pool, one guy stands out from the crowd. Jesus could tell by looking at him that he had been struggling for a long time. I can only imagine that all the regulars know this guy. He's like the veteran of Bethesda, the old timer. John tells us that he's been struggling with his infirmity for 38 years. Of all the sick people at the pool, of all the desperate people hanging out at this ancient ER, Jesus chooses the guy who's been there the longest. He doesn't choose the guy who sprained his ankle last week. He picks the guy with the most difficult, hopeless case, the one who has been an invalid for 38 years. This guy obviously can't get to Jesus, but that's okay because Jesus comes to him. Jesus approaches him and asks, "Hey, do you want to be made well?" I wonder if that man's stomach dropped. I doubt anybody has ever asked him a question like that before. "Do you want to be made well?" He responded, "Sir, I don't have anybody to help me in the water when the water stirs. Every day I come here, and every day the water stirs, somebody else jumps in before I can. Every day is like Groundhog Day. I'm caught in this time loop, reliving the same suffering over and over and over again. And it's been like this for 38 years. I also wonder if Jesus, when he hears this man's answer, thought, "That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you why you've been unable to break free of this Groundhog Day. I didn't ask you why you're stuck. I didn't ask you if you had anybody to help you in the water. I asked you, do you want to be made well?" It's a pointed question. On the surface, you think, Jesus, who in their right mind would say no? Of course this poor man wants to be made well. But not so fast, my friends. See, after that long of being stuck, sometimes our malady becomes our crutch. Jesus knows it's human nature to choose the path of least resistance. He knows change is hard, even if it's change for the better. And last week, Pastor Grace Marie talked about our chains. Well, Jesus knows, as dysfunctional as it sounds, that sometimes it's easier to choose chains than change. Sometimes it's easier, not better, just easier, to choose chains than change. That's why sometimes when an inmate is released after a long prison sentence, he will immediately commit another crime and get himself arrested again. Because after decades on the inside, prisoners not only get used to their prison, but sometimes they come to prefer it. Tony Robbins famously said that change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. There's certainly some truth to that. Sometimes it's easier to choose chains than change. I don't know if Jesus sensed something going on in the heart of that man at the pool of Bethesda or not. I just know that Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you really want to be made well?" This message today was certainly an unplanned addition to the Unstuck series. But as you sit today safe and sound at home, I do think it's worth pondering. Do you want to be made well? Whatever has you feeling like you're a character in Groundhog Day, reliving the same day over and over and over again, whatever has you feeling stuck, it's worth pondering. Am I choosing chains over change? Do you want to be made well? Are you ready to do whatever it takes to be delivered from whatever behaviors have you in bondage? Next Sunday, when we can get back to worshiping all together in person, we will resume the series and we'll go deeper. We'll get to get more specific about some things that hold us in bondage. But in the meantime, here's what I want you to hear. No matter how long you've been stuck, no matter how much despair you may feel, if your answer to Jesus' question is yes, if you do want to be made well, there is hope. And he didn't just die. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. That means that once we surrender our lives to him, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And that means that no habit is too ingrained. No addiction is too powerful. No relationship is too far gone because the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit lives in us. So do you want to be made well? Here's the good news. God's grace is available to us all. Now, some people have a misunderstanding about what grace is. Grace is not just God saying, "Hey, don't worry about your sin or brokenness. Don't worry about your addiction because it's really no big deal." No, grace is the power of God to transform us, to break our chains and set us free. We don't have to do anything to earn grace, but we do have to receive it. We have to choose change over chains. And if we do, Jesus will heal us, just like that man who had been struggling for 38 years. Now, in his case, healing was instant. More often than not, though, healing for us comes gradually. Sometimes it takes a long time. And sometimes it's not linear. Sometimes it feels like we take two steps forward and one step back. But we can't give up because God will never give up on us. God wants us to experience the abundant life He created us for. So do you want to be made well? When Jesus asked that question, the man answered with excuses. But if you pay close attention to the story, Jesus ignored his excuses. He doesn't get pulled into this man feeling sorry for himself. Instead, he says, "Take up your mat and walk." Makes me wonder, is the man healed instantly when he hears Jesus say those words? Or does Jesus wait to heal him when the man obeys and takes that first step? I like to think it's when the man takes the first step. And the same thing can be true for you today. Jesus wants to heal us. He makes His healing power available to us, but He's waiting on us to take that first step. The Holy Spirit does the work of healing, but we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit by doing our part. That might mean leaning into Christian counseling. It might mean joining a support group, but it will definitely mean taking a step. Do you want to be made well? Prove it. One way for you to do that this morning is to take advantage of the resources our team has pulled together on our website. You can go to mounthorebchurch.org/unstuckresources. And if you'd like our congregational care team to pray with you and pray for you, you can email us at care@mounthorebchurch.org. But know there is hope, there is healing in Jesus. It's time to take the first step. Do you want to be made well? Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your amazing grace, for the fact that you make it possible by the power of your resurrection for our chains to be broken. You make it possible for us to choose change over our chains. And so, God, right now, I pray for everyone who has heard this message. We're all stuck at home with this ice storm, but God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move in our hearts and minds. Show us whatever behaviors hold us in bondage and give us the desire to be made well. God, I pray all over Lexington and beyond right now, you would break chains and set people free. Lord, we will give you all the praise and glory and the honor for answering these prayers. And we make them in the strong name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, who died, but who was raised from the dead in order to set us free. And all God's people said, amen.